It is Free For All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast, and today we have a special guest joining us. Usually Free For All Friday, you get to just have me, but today we have a guest I'm really jazzed to introduce to you. His name is Seamus Coughlin. He is the creator and host of Freedom Tunes, which is a hilarious conservative animated YouTube channel. I'm always showing these to my wife, Laura. They are absolutely hilarious takes on recent events and politics. You need to go check that out. I also love the work that he does on Economic Soapbox. So he's done a lot of great work, and Seamus is with us today to talk about a new project that he is creating and wants to share with others. So Seamus, welcome to Council of Trent.
Trent, thank you so much for having me, and it's totally mutual. I love your channel. I've been watching it for quite a while now, and I'm glad that you and your wife get so much joy out of the cartoons that we do. I know that your wife referenced our Hollow ads a few times on her channel, so I appreciated that. I thought it was really funny that like our ad spots that we were doing were getting attention from fans in that way as well.
Oh, absolutely. What I love about, especially about Freedom Tunes, is I'll see something in the news and I'll think about an idea in my head, like when Trump was almost assassinated and the media basically like moved on in 3 days. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, this is ridiculous. If that had happened to Kamala Harris, we would not hear the end. We would still be talking about it to this very day. And then like a day later, you posted an episode on what would have happened, what it would have been like if that attempt had been made on Kamala Harris. And so I was like, same wavelength. That's why I'm loving it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very, very glad. And I think that's generally our most successful formula is when I tap into something that everyone else was already feeling or thinking. You know, I don't sit down to write these and say, how can I own the libs? Or how can I push back against the left? Or how can I make this point? I'm just paying attention to politics all the time because it's an interest of mine. And there's so much comedy in it, intended or otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I'll start making these cartoons. And because, you know, I'm right-wing, I'm conservative, I'm Catholic, my values will just come out in the cartoon.
Right.
But it's fun because I think one problem that certain conservative content creators have and that we've seen with organizations that have tried to make conservative content or media is they put the message first and they're like, how can we own the libs? How can we give the fan service to our audience of feeling like they vicariously argued against and shut down a lefty? But I think the most successful formula is to just write what's funny about the situation and try to write something that's genuinely entertaining. And if you're really conservative, if you're really right wing, the right-wing angle is just going to flow naturally from that.
Right. No, I agree. And I think what makes it funny, what makes comedy authentic, is when you are able to detect the discordance. I mean, if you think about it, comedy is something, it's an art. And what all good comedy boils down to is the ability to detect discordant things, things that don't go together, even though maybe people pretend that they go together, and then to point out that absurdity, and then people laugh at the absurdity. And that takes time and thinking and clarity. And so I definitely appreciate that your work does that. So tell me a bit more about the new project you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. So along the lines of what I was mentioning earlier, the goal with it is not to go, here's this over-the-top, preachy, ham-fisted right-wing show.
Right.
It's to make something really good and really entertaining, but because it's written by a Catholic and a conservative and a right-winger, those values are going to flow through it naturally.
Yeah.
The media has been dominated by people who hate our faith, who hate our values, who hate our families, and who have been slowly chipping away at our culture through propaganda.
Yeah.
Myself and my team, we've produced over 600 videos on Freedom Tunes. We've amassed over a million subscribers. We've amassed 290 billion views, all with $0 spent on marketing. So we have a track record of being able to make stuff that reaches people and that's entertaining and even cathartic for them to see. And I realized it was time for us to step out into creating something larger. And that's what Twisted Plots is. It's a television length show. Mm-hmm. Each episode explores a completely different scenario. It's an anthology series. It's a comedy series. Some episodes are zany and off the walls. Some episodes are darker and more dry with the comedic delivery.
Right.
And we can't fight the culture war if we're not making culture. And that's why we're doing this. I've got the track record, I've got the team, and I've got the experience. And with support from the audience, I'm going to be unstoppable. So if you guys like what I'm saying, you like what I'm doing, if you want good conservative content, if you want content made by a right winger that isn't pandering but is actually telling a good story,
yeah,
go to twistedplots.com, support the show. You'll also get access to our 25-minute long pilot. We already have the first episode completely finished.
Okay, so Twisted Plots, is that going to be, it's an anthology, is it going to have recurring characters, or is it going to be everything is brand new each episode, like how like Twilight Zone would be a brand new story each time?
Yeah, so it's like Twilight Zone in the sense that it's a brand new story each time.
Okay.
And we might bring certain characters back later on if we do a second season, because there's some characters I'm just enjoying working with who I think, yeah, the audience will probably really like. But one thing that bothered me about a lot of anthologies, and this is an issue with Black Mirror, for example. There is a lot of entertainment value in certain episodes of that show, but in my mind, the value of an anthology series is getting to explore like a different moral issue or a different scenario every episode. And Black Mirror has done that in some interesting ways, but then a lot of the episodes are like, what if a British person's brain got uploaded into something a British person's brain shouldn't be in? And you're like, yeah, I guess that would be bad. And then that's right. The whole episode is like, oh, my brain's in a toaster and it's not supposed to be in a toaster, man. Was it meant to live this way? And I'm like, I feel like there's room to explore more interesting moral issues if you have, you know, unlimited technology aiding your story. And
right.
So that's part of what we're doing. Not every episode is science fiction, but some of them are. And that's kind of what I want to explore. Like, how does this insane contrived scenario actually affect the human condition? The second episode that I've written gets into the idea of resource scarcity, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What if someone were to solve scarcity? We're constantly told that you know, the root of crime is poverty and people not having enough. Well, what if we solve that? Like, how does man wrestle with his conscience? What drives him to do bad things? Like, that's part of what's at the heart of our second episode, because to me, that's more interesting than, you know, saying social media is bad for the millionth time, even though I agree it's bad.
Oh, yeah. No, you want an episode to be able to ask just a really interesting question. And that's an interesting question right there. What if we solve resource scarcity? Because a lot of people would say, oh, well, it would be just like the Star Trek Enterprise. It would be just it would be just like the Federation. We'd be a bunch of preachy space socialists flying yes. around in our ships, and everything would be great, when it's like, actually, the human condition is a lot different, Gene Roddenberry, and
yes.
maybe things wouldn't be as nice as you imagine. Yeah, no, I agree. The best ones are the ones where you ask, especially it's in like more in the science fiction realm, asking a really, really good what if question. And it gets
yes.
bad if you can't ask that sort of question. Like, I was thinking about the new Twilight Zone. I think, what's his face, Jordan Peele, or one of Key and Peele was involved, I think, in some of the new Twilight Zone episodes. And they're just really, they're the photo negative of bad conservative propaganda. It's bad liberal propaganda that pushes the message first. I think there was one where it's like all men are turned into these masculine aggro zombies, like aggressive, like fighting everyone, and nobody can know why. And the only men who don't do that are like gay men because they're more sensitive. And I'm like, come on, man. You could do a good Twilight Zone episode. You could even do a good Twilight Zone that has a liberal perspective to it. It's so funny. I don't know if this happens to you. I'm sure it happens to you, where you watch something, you're like, I could actually do a good liberal perspective on this better than you could.
100%, dude. 100%. It's so funny. You mentioned like Star Trek. I want to mention one more thing about the resource
yeah.
scarcity, then respond to what you said about Twilight Zone, because I have a
yeah.
million thoughts ping-ponging off this.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea of like, oh, if we didn't have any resource scarcity, we wouldn't have any crime. It's like, okay, well, what if just one guy unlocks resource scarcity? Well, you think he's a villain, right? So then what happens if the entire population does? What happens to their moral character, moral quality? How does that work with your ideology? And then with Key, and that's kind of the question one episode asks. I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
And then, with the new Twilight Zone and people telling these liberal stories, I feel the same way sometimes. And part of the reality is, I think that if you're actually telling a good story, I think it's going to have truth, beauty, and goodness in it, and some kernel of a Catholic message is actually going to be there, whether you recognize it or not. So one of my favorite films is Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. And for those who haven't seen it, spoiler alert, I'm about to tell you what happens. I highly recommend watching this movie if you haven't. But Stephen King is notoriously not friendly to Christians. He always has a Christian villain in his work. Even in Shawshank, the warden is like that stereotypical, hypocritical Christian. But the actual flow of that story and the actual arc is like a profound Christian allegory, and it was not intended at all. The director didn't mean for it to be Christian. Stephen King didn't mean for it to be Christian, as far as I'm aware. But it's like, all right, you have a mysterious figure who enters into the realm of the guilty despite his innocence, and everyone's fixated on this guy, and they're trying to size him up, and they all have different opinions on him. And he does help them in some ways with, like, I guess you could say worldly things with the construction of this library and advocating for the prisoners. But really, like, his actual grand work is not the quote-unquote social justice. It's what you find at the end of the film, which is that he is secretly tunneled an escape out of this prison, which to me evokes this idea of, like, entering by the narrow gate. He literally, in the truest sense, he squeezes out to his salvation. And right. The only person who joins him is Red, who says he's the only guilty man in Shawshank. It's a running theme throughout the film that no one admits that they're wrong. No one admits that they're guilty. No one admits that they belong in jail. Red is the only one who acknowledges his guilt, and he's the only one who gets salvation. To me, that is such a clear and beautiful Christian allegory. But of course, it wasn't intended that way, and yet we love that film so much. I think the reason we love that film is because that truth is there. We know there's something true about it, even if we don't explicitly identify the Christian elements.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Judd Apatow makes the comedy Juno with an unplanned pregnancy involved, and it turns out to have a really strong pro-life theme. But Apatow and them absolutely were not trying to make a pro-life movie.
Yes.
They just couldn't help it. It just comes out.
Because it would be
way.
A bad story if she killed the baby.
Right.
It wouldn't be a good story. Like, if you want to tell a good story, it has to actually be true. And I'm glad you mentioned Judd Apatow, because here's what he does. He did this with a couple of his other films, and I can't endorse these films. I saw them when I was younger. There's a lot of inappropriate imagery in them, and I believe nudity. So I'm not recommending these the way I am Shawshank. But, in Knocked Up, for example, they end up keeping the baby and getting married, actually, in 40-year-old virgin. That's the story of a man who's had a failure to launch. He hasn't grown up, and he stays a virgin until he's married. He like gets married, and he doesn't have sex till after marriage. So Judd Apatow, he'll tell these stories where the morality of it on paper is actually pretty solid, but he always slips into his film dialogue to reassure you as an audience member that it would be perfectly fine if you didn't do it that way. So in Juno, they make the pro-lifer look silly. And in Knocked Up, they have his friend say, you should go get an abortion. And they have a whole bit about that, and that's never condemned. In 40-year-old Virgin, of course it's communicated that, yes, if you wanted to have sex outside of marriage, you could. So even though he's like getting away with telling stories that at their heart do promote a good value, he fills it with like really crass humor and nudity, and he tells you, but it would be okay if you didn't do this. So it's kind of mealy-mouthed.
Yeah, it has to, because the true and the good thing is the engine that's driving it. But the true and the good also makes people uncomfortable, because it wants to move their conscience away from that which is bad and ugly.
Exactly.
And if you're just trying to make money, you don't necessarily want to make people uncomfortable. Oh, I wanted to give you this is an idea. I've never shared this with anyone before, but when I saw that Twilight Zone episode, I thought I have an idea for one that has more of a liberal message to it, but I think would actually just be a good story. And the main character is a guy who's like racist. He doesn't like immigrants. And he always like, he yells at them like, learn our damn language already, you damn invaders. And then he wakes up one morning and everybody in the world is speaking a different language than him. And he can't, no one can understand him. He can't understand them. And a bunch of series of things happens where, you know, he almost like dies and like calamity ensues. And the twist at the end is just that he has rapid onset aphasia. And that's the twist. And the twist at the end is that everybody's normal, but he has had a brain injury and he perceives it. So like there, it's just like, there you go. I even gave somewhat of a liberal message to it and it makes sense. And the twist at the end makes sense. And it's not ham-fisted. It's like, oh, okay. I'm just like, how can I do this job better than some of you people? But
well, this is one idea I also have. I think you'll appreciate. This is not an episode that's planned for our first season, which we're funding right now. This is something I think I'd like to do in season two.
Yeah.
If we're able to get this fully funded and you know, make this show after the first season, obviously, if it's successful, I'd like to do a second. And I think it'd be really funny to do a parody of Star Trek since they're the perfect socialists in space. But to do it where they actually function like a real communist government, like they colonize these planets and starve everybody there and like drain their freshwater reserves. And like they preach all the same talking points about not needing money and having a selfless economy while they're just brutalizing their citizens under the most like horrific tyranny and starving them and executing them for being religious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all under the guise of their space socialism.
Exactly.
So just to remind our listeners then, if they want to go and support, and they can watch the first episode, it's at twistedplots.com.
Yeah, it's at twistedplots.com. Our first episode kind of deals with like the ET phenomena and the way that I think the media has exploited that, the way I think our institutions more or less exploit it to try to evoke a sense of nihilism. I won't say that much more than that.
Yeah.
The humor in our first episode, very funny, very zany, very off the wall. It's an anthology, so the second series is going to be, again, a different theme. And the second episode actually has a much drier sense of humor to it, but I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So if you want to help us get all of this made, go to twistedplots.com, support at any level. You'll get to see the first episode. You'll be helping us to create subsequent episodes. And we're in a situation, again, where entertainment media is dominated by people who hate our way of life. We need to counter that with good, entertaining content. I've got the experience. I've got the team. I know how to do this. I've got a good track record. If you want to help me, if you want to give me your support, I'll be totally unstoppable. We will make a fantastic show and it will move the needle.
People, the man has already proven himself with billions of views. And go to Freedom Tunes. You'll see what I mean. It's awesome. But I'm really excited for Twisted Plots. Go check it out, twistedplots.com, and be sure to support Seamus. I definitely want to see more of this great content. Seamus, thank you so much for joining us today on the Council of Trent.
Thank you so much, Trent.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you all have a very blessed weekend.